It's one thing to listen to doom and gloom about food and fertilizer shortages, skyrocketing prices, the cost of living, or your job being outsourced overseas or eliminated due to automation. It's quite another thing to hear practical, immediately actionable advice from experts who can help you reduce the fear, anxiety, and burden of these problems.
Tune in now to the Surviving Hard Times podcast from the Finding Genius Foundation with Richard Jacobs. Before we begin, a note from our sponsor. I'm Richard Jacobs, Executive Director of the nonprofit Finding Genius Foundation and host of the Finding Genius podcast. In late 2016, I was rear-ended at 65 miles an hour by a truck on the highway, which sent me off-road into a ditch. The impact of the collision gave me a concussion and other injuries. At the hospital, a CT scan showed that I had thyroid nodules, which turned out to be cancer. It was then, when I had a biopsy in my neck, that I realized even if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't want a second or a third biopsy due to the pain and the invasiveness of it. And appointments at that time for thyroid experts were 3 to 6 months out, and I was worried about dying now, even if that was irrational. So because of this, I've decided to raise money to conduct a literature review on steroids, on the causes of anxiety and depression, a condition that affects well over 50 million people in the United States and hundreds of millions worldwide. Our goal is to create a codex, a guide, that reveals all possible treatments for anxiety and depression for people that live with the condition, or for loved ones that have it, as my wife and my son do. To find out more about our fundraiser, visit findinggeniusfoundation.org and click on Current Initiatives. And now, to our guest. Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Surviving Hard Times podcast, sponsored by the Finding Genius Foundation.
I have Jason Charles. We're going to talk about how to prepare, aka prep, for what's coming. He's known as the Angry Prepper on YouTube. So if you want to find his videos, which there are a lot of great ones, go to YouTube and look up the Angry Prepper. So Jason, thanks for coming.
Not a problem.
If you would, tell me a bit about your background. How did you get into prepping and what prompted you to do this?
So I read a book a bunch of years back now called 1 Second After. And with that, after reading the book, and I read the book for entertainment more than anything else, but along with being entertained, I realized that I needed to be prepared. So with that, I just started preparing. I took that book seriously because there was an afterword by Newt Gingrich. And he talked about the plausibility of an EMP attack, which is an electromagnetic pulse attack that can, you know, darken whatever area is affected by this device that goes off, whether it's a nuclear device or an actual EMP device itself. It can knock out all electronics and send us back to the 18th century. So reading all of that, reading the EMP Commission report, which is online, I realized that we weren't ready.
What is the EMP Commission report? Just a quick question about that.
So the EMP Commission report is the electromagnetic report on what could happen in the United States should one go off. Now, when you read it, they give you a timeline of things that'll break down, and it's a very long, boring read. But if you're a prepper, there are a lot of things in there that you'll read and go, well, how do I get myself out of this situation, that situation? So as you're reading it, you start playing chess, if you will. And it's you can go online and you can download this whole report in the form of a PDF file and read it on your own. I think every prepper should read it, being that it's plausible to happen, but the likeliness of it is fairly low because we have other things to contend with at this moment.
So, okay, so you read this report and then you decide, all right, if anything bad goes on, no one seems to be ready and you wanted to get ready more than other people. So what are some of the things that you started doing to prepare?
Well, the first thing that for us city folks, those that live in a city, the first thing that rung out to me was water. Water is going to be a huge problem. Food, I mean, if you're ready to be a savage, there are things you can do to eat, meaning like, you know, start eating pigeons and rats and things like that. But water will be the biggest problem. So we started storing water away and we still don't have nearly enough. We have enough to last us without the water bob, which is a bathtub bladder that you fill up in your tub, which gives you about 100 gallons of water. We only have like 60 days of water altogether. We would have to ration water severely from the beginning until we figure out our next step, which your next step should actually be leaving, shouldn't be staying, because again, water is such an issue, you would have no other choice but to leave.
Yeah, you're in New York City, right? Or thereabouts?
Yes, sir.
What kind of, with your perspective right now, what kind of problems do you think would occur that would cause essentially
mass chaos, like in major cities like New York, what do you think would happen? What's likely to happen?
First of all, if an EMP goes off and we have nationwide blackout, that's from Canada, America, down into some parts of Mexico would feel this effect as well. As far as the city goes, New York, it would break down into chaos probably in the first 24 hours. If anybody's paying attention to what's going on in the United States, we are faced with a lot of crime. A lot of criminals doing what they want to do because they can't. No one's actually stopping them. Police took the stance recently, or rather the mayors took a stance that they want their police force to stand down on a lot of the things that are going on. That being said, we also have major tension here in the United States when it comes to anger and hating cops and things like that. So now imagine no power, less cops responding. Most cops will probably go home if they figure out what's going on. You'll have mayhem within the first 24 hours. Then after that, you'll probably have people in the second or third day rioting at stores, or at least going to stores in full force, getting what they can. Food riots will probably be within the week. Within the month, you'll probably have numerous people dead in the city, whether that's from medical emergencies, actual murders, accidents and things of that nature, infections. You're going to have numerous people die. I would probably say within the millions, within the first week. And a lot of these people are unprepared. So they're not going to figure this out for a while. The rest of us will.
So if the likelihood of an EMP is pretty low, what do you think would be the likely cause of huge societal breakdown, today?
Well, right now we're contending with two major issues. One of them being the economy, right? The economy is definitely going to take a dump. I'm hearing that this month they're going to raise the interest rate again about a full point. So they were talking about another quarter of a point or half a point, but now I'm hearing a full point, which is very bad. We've never seen anything like that. So the economy is definitely a problem, but we also have the nuclear threat problem. Russia seemingly every day is making more and more threats, though it's not coming from Putin, it's coming from his lackeys. They seem to think that we are at world war right now and that the United States and its allies are going to suffer greatly. And they keep saying that. So at some point, they're going to push that button and we're all going to see the societal collapse.
Do you feel like, bad things are really imminent right now, like they're about to happen, or, you just have to be prepared regardless?
I think we are definitely facing an imminent danger, whether that's the economical collapse or an actual nuclear war. Either or is bad, right? So if we don't go nuclear, but we have the Great Depression 2.0, the Great Depression 2.0 is going to wipe out the entire planet, all the major nations that are involved in the stock market, if you will. A lot of the smaller nations, the third world countries, they're going to fare just the same. They're actually probably not going to feel much change for them. We here in this high society, if you will, first world nations, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer and we're going to see a lot of people die out of an economic collapse, because with the Great Depression back in 1929, we had half the population. So now we have double the population we did in 1929. We're definitely going to see major, major problems and major deaths, major food shortages, starvation. We're going to see crime skyrocket like you wouldn't believe. With the nuclear war, you're going to see millions of people die in one shot. With the Great Depression, you're going to see millions of people die over a course of months, if not years.
So I don't know if you're in an apartment or a house or anything, or if you're in Manhattan itself, but how, with the water example, how have you been able to start collecting water? Have you just been saving it from the sinks, or have you been able to collect rainwater?
Well, we're not collecting rainwater yet. We do have a rainwater catchment system. I just don't have anything viable to catch to store that water, because once that water starts getting caught in the rain catchment system, we need containers to fill up. Now, if we go through some of our containers we have stored away, then yes, we can use some of those. But if we have these downpours that we've been getting lately, we'll figure out that water problem will figure itself out, obviously. We're not too concerned about it, especially if we've been getting the rain that we've been getting lately. Now, if we go through a rain drought or lack of rain, then we have a bigger problem.
Okay, so you've been, I guess you've just been storing as you can in various containers. So you have, like you said, about 60 days supply.
Right, well, we put these waters in these 5-gallon water jugs. Well, we are going to get more. We've actually stored some of them in a storage unit as well, because we don't have room in the apartment. You don't have a room in the apartment, you got to get creative, or you have to actually spend extra. and spending extra is getting a storage unit and putting food and water in there.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So what are some of the issues that the people on your channel have been interested in lately? Like, what have you been covering that you feel like is very important?
Well, we've been covering everything. I haven't been covering the whole Russia-Ukraine situation too much. I'm going to start covering it a little more, you know, just to draw people's attention to it. I'm not going to be like other channels where they focus on it every day. And every day we're supposed to be getting nuked, according to those channels. I know that it's eventually going to come. It's just something that you shouldn't harp on every day, you know, and scaring the shit out of people. I mean, listen, regardless, this is going to happen. You know, whether this happens this year or happens next year, 2-3 years from now, we are at a high tension moment with Russia, China, and countries that are joining that BRIC pact, right? So the BRIC pact is the Brazil, Republic of China, Brazil, Russia, India, China, Turkey's joining, Iran's joining. A lot of nations that hate us are joining this pact. They're trying to build sustainability amongst those nations. And other nations are trying to join now because they're seeing the writing on the wall. They're seeing the U.S. dollar drop. They're seeing these nations come together and forming a sustainability that's going to get them through whatever is going to happen. Now, unfortunately, even with those countries and their sustainability, a nuclear war means a lot of countries are going to suffer. And a lot of countries are going to stab us in the back, like India. I thought that we had some kind of alliance with India. Apparently, we don't. Not anymore. China, I think, bullied India into this pact because remember, 2 years ago, China was pressing India, and now they're part of this BRIC pact. We also have South Africa that's involved, and Venezuela's talking about joining, or at the very least, they're going to ask to join because they're holding what you call it together now. You know, they're holding training drills for Iran, Russia, and what you call it in their country.
Okay, I don't know. What do you believe that this was? Deliberately caused, let's say, by the powers that be? Or is this just a series of blunders from various nations and leaders that have caused us to fall into these problems?
Well, the problem, you know, that's sort of a loaded question because there's too many moving parts of this problem. Everybody seems to think it's the United States. Some people seem to think it's just Russia and Ukraine war. Some people think it's Ukraine and their corruptness. It's a multitude of things that came together sort of like the perfect storm. I mean, Russia and China have been planning this forever, this attack or whatever they're planning to do to the United States. This has been something they had in the barrel for 30 plus years. So that's nothing new. They've been looking to position themselves where they are now and probably even better in the future for a long time. The fact that we have an incompetent president as well is another issue. Right now, I don't know what your viewers think about Trump. And yes, Trump is an asshole, but Trump was trying to position the United States to be sustainable on its own, to get away from dependency of China and other countries. We were trying to become more self-efficient, self-reliant. And Biden, because of his dislike for Trump, reversed all of that just to put it to Trump. But he's not just putting it to Trump. He's putting it to the American people. Because look what we're paying for gas now. Right. Look at the food shortages we're running into. Look at the fact that we're letting Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos and others buy all this farmland and then just sit on it instead of farming. Look at the fact that they're now raising how they want us to eat bugs. Look at how they're pushing synthetic meat and trying to say that our current meat is dangerous for us. So, again, this is definitely all by design with some blunders involved. Like I said, there's so many different things that happen. We can't just blame one thing.
Okay, no, it's a good perspective. I've seen some of the, some of the elites talking about, there should only be about 500 million people in the world. And when I did a quick calculation, that's 94% less than there are now of the 8 billion. That's most people gone if they get their way. So I guess that's right. That's what's being engineered.
Well, look at this, right? They're putting it out in the open. They're telling us. And look, you know what's crazy? Is I told people, go to the World Economic Forum and do the research on there. They lay out the plan on how they're going to screw us over. They lay it out for us. Those of us who are paying attention, we are going to fare a lot better than those who are not. And it seems like 94 or 95% of the population is not paying that close attention. I think worldwide, there's less than a percentage of us who are preppers. So we will fare better because we see the writing on the walls. We are getting ready for whatever shitstorm they're going to unleash. But the rest of society isn't paying attention. Don't want to pay attention. They don't even want to know the truth. when the truth is out in front of them. It's easy for them to read. It's not conspiracy theory anymore. It's simple fact. The fact that the World Economic Forum is like, yo, this is what we're going to do, and people are ignoring it is astonishing to me.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are ignoring it, but then the media also covers that kind of stuff up. And it's very difficult to, anyone that you talk to about it. I mean, most people say, oh, that's conspiracy. That's right. And you can tell them, go to the World Economic Forum website, read it. It's right there. But somehow, even at that point, they just say, oh, no, I'm not worried. You know, or what else can I do? I'm just going to see what happens type thing. That's what I've seen a lot of people say when I've spoken to them about things. What kind of responses do you get when you bring this up?
I try to be as practical as I possibly can. Right? I don't want to fall completely down the conspiracy theory hole. I also don't want to be completely oblivious or appear to be oblivious to what's going on. So I try to balance it out. I get a fair response. I get people saying, all right, you're being a conspiracy theorist. And then you have other people that are like, oh, you're still not awake. You're missing the point. So it's, when it comes to YouTube, it doesn't matter what you say. You're always wrong. You know, you could be like 100% right and you're still wrong.
Oh, really? That's what you've seen, is no matter what you say, you have people that tell you it's either not enough or you're wrong, no matter what.
Yes, right. No matter what. You could be like, yo, this is the tastiest cheeseburger I ever had. They're like, no, you're not. It's McDonald's. You know, so it's like someone is always looking to argue with you for the sake of arguing. I learned that on YouTube. I learned that through life, just through life. I mean, listen, you could sit there and say this. Apple pie out of Joe's Apple Pie Bakery is the best apple pie I ever had. Someone's going to argue with you and tell you, no, it's not that. It's Mr. Smith's apple pie, the frozen one. You know, like someone's always going to argue something. So it doesn't matter. What matters is if you point out the facts and then the facts start happening, that's what matters. So I will report or talk about certain things. And if it unfolds and turns into that storyline, people be like, oh, shit, he was right. You know, he said X, Y, and Z. He said this, and this is happening. That's all I can do. And all you can do is be patient with time. Because with time, a lot of these things are going to unfold.
How long have you been doing your channel? And what kinds of things that you thought would happen actually have come to pass since you've been doing your channel?
Well, the current situation we're in, the societal collapse, is actually happening slower than a lot of us thought. I did a video on that a while back talking about societal collapse and saying it's not going to be as fast as we think. What I missed is the societal collapse started, man, once they started all this crap with the schools. They started indoctrinating kids. They started indoctrinating these dumbass college kids into thinking certain things are supposed to be this way, whatever that is. And we have a lot of liberals coming out of these schools destroying this country. Again, if you look at liberal mindset, and I know people are like, it's not just liberals, it's also conservatives. Yes, you have conservative nut jobs out there as well. But unfortunately, when we had Republicans in office, and I'm not a big Republican fan, I'm really not, just because they like to go after unionized workers, which I can't stand, because they want to save the mighty dollar in their pocket as well. But if you look at who's destroying this country right now, it's Democrats and liberals. They have the mindset that criminals don't deserve to go to jail. Okay, so now look what we have. We have high crime skyrocketing. We have people doing what they want. You have people going to jail after being arrested for stealing out of a store. You have, you have people crying about everything. You make a joke, you're homophobic. You make a joke, you're misogynistic. This is what breaks down society, the constant crying and bickering, not the actual fact that people will need to toughen up, because what's coming next is not going to matter whether you're gay or straight or black or white. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is how tough you are and how well you can handle what comes next.
Well, that's interesting. Do you think that people have deliberately tried to make people soft so that when things like this happen, there'll be less resistance?
Absolutely. If you think about it, if you look at, okay, so I tell people all the time right now, especially after learning about him, there's a guy named Yuri Bezmenov. There's not a lot of videos on him, but if you go on Rumble, especially BitChute, even YouTube, you'll find some of his videos. And he talks about how to bring the United States down. If you look at the United States, you look at the problems we're having, right? And I don't know if you want to edit this out or not, but I'm going to bring up a couple of issues that we have that nowhere else in the world has, and they're becoming the superpower. So we have a company called Monsanto, right? They've had their hands in our food for a long time. They've put all of these chemical weakening products in our food that make us weak. that have made us more feminine, that have made us more sensitive. With that being said, if you look at other countries and the ingredients in that same product, it's more natural. Ketchup, for example, in the UK is actually just sugar, water, and tomato sauce. Ketchup here in the United States has every other chemical under the sun, and they try to tell us it's preservatives. If you look at the race of men, right, here in the United States, our testosterone is dropping dramatically. Yet in other countries, they still have men. They don't entertain the wokeism. They don't entertain the pronoun crap. They don't entertain any of the stuff that we entertain. And they have a stronger nation for it. And they're going to bully us right into a corner. Meanwhile, we are sitting here worried about pronouns in the military. And these guys are putting their military in the mountains and training. There's an issue.
Yeah, true.
Right. So, and I tell people, I'm not making this shit up. Just look at it for yourselves. Look at the stats on the testosterone of men. Look at the stats on other countries dealing with the pronouns or the LGBT, whatever it is. They're not dealing with it like we are. And yet we are worried about a small percentage of people, and we're putting at stake a larger percentage of people.
So I don't know. Who do you think is, do you think anyone's orchestrating this, or it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just people are just participating in it in mass? Or do you think, again, there's people orchestrating what's going on?
Well, I think there's an orchestration going on. Again, if you go to the World Economic Forum and then you also follow the new BRIC Pact, they're definitely orchestrating their own New World Order. The World Economic Forum talks about New World Order, which, again, when I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, man, it sounds like a good movie, you know, like a good James Bond movie. Then nonetheless, the new James Bond movie starts putting the New World Order storyline in it. Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise, they start putting the New World Order, what you call it, in. Then you go on World Economic Forum and it follows suit. It's as if they're trying to get us ready. So yes, part of it's being orchestrated. What China and Russia did was the curveball for the World Economic Forum, because they didn't see that coming. They didn't see this, oh shit, moment. Now they're like, now they're faced with another New World Order trying to start. And again, if you read all of this stuff, and it's out in the open for us to read, you'll come to the truth.
That's crazy. So what, I guess getting back to more practical matters and saving water, that's probably number one, because without water for a couple of days, we're all dead. What else have you been storing food, or how else have you been prepping?
So I've been storing food. I've been getting freeze-dried goods, MREs, canning my own meats. So, you know, canning is a process where you pressurized a glass jar, whatever meat you have inside of it, whatever vegetable you have inside of it, and you store it away, and it stores for a couple of years. I also have been storing, like I said, dehydrated food, camp foods, canned goods. Traditional old-fashioned canned goods are good enough. You don't have to spend too much money with that. You can go to the store, see a deal, be like, you know, five cans of Spam for $2, you know, and you can go crazy if you eat Spam. So it's there's so many other ways to prepare. It's not like you'll have people telling you the only way to prepare is to start a garden, which is absolute BS, because we all can't do it. We all can't garden. Some of us don't have the know-how, but putting canned goods away is going to get you started at the very least. You know, if you learn how to garden, why are you learning how to like can your own food or buy canned goods? It's going to put you in the right direction, point you in the right direction. Sorry.
Yeah. No, do you, I have the feeling that a lot of people are overwhelmed by the thoughts of what could happen. They block them out. But even if they're like, all right, I need to do something to get ready, it still feels overwhelming. Like, what are some of the first things people could do? Or how can someone like dip their toe in if they, you know, they're worried, but I don't know, they're just, this is all new to them. They just don't know how to start.
I would say start with a plan. Develop a plan first. Write it down on paper. If you start thinking in your head, you're going to become overwhelmed, and you're going to start doing shit and prepping for shit that doesn't make any sense. You're going to probably spend way more money than you should, like I have in the past. So if you are responsible, you get out a pad and a pen and you start writing what you want to do, where you want to start first. And I tell people all the time, especially in apartments, start with food and water first. Don't worry about all that other gear. Don't worry about that extra shit. Worry about food and water first. Now, for those of us in the city, we are more likely to bug out than we are to bug in. So I would tell people to build a bug out bag first. If you have a place to go. If you don't have a place to go, start with food and water and work on a place to go. Again, it depends on your situation. Every situation is different. I have multiple avenues to go down and entertain. I could jump in a car and go upstate and hit a spot up there where I have some food and water and shit stored away. I could stay home if I have to, because I can't get out of the city, and bog down for a few months before we have to beat feet. So, you know, again, I made sure that I was positioned where I can do multiple things and not be pigeonholed to one thing.
Yeah. What do friends and family members say about your prepping? Do they just blow you off, or do they take you seriously? Or what do they think?
Well, they don't blow me off anymore. You know, before it was all fun and games, and this is never going to happen. Now, the more things that start to happen and unfold, people are like, oh, how do I get this and how do I get done? I'm going to go back to the, I guess, World War II era, right? Or rather the Dust Bowl era, where people were getting themselves handed to them, their behinds handed to them. They learned how to prep as a way of life. Mm. And now we're doing it because we have to. They didn't do it. It was a necessity to them. It was something they, now we have to do it because look at where we're headed. We're headed towards some way where, like we just said, millions of people are going to die.
So you have a lot of friends now and people you know that are asking you, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? Right? Is what you're saying?
Well, yes. There's a lot of people that are asking me how to prep and how to, you know, and what to do and what I should buy and things like that. You know, a lot of my friends, they were asking me even before all of this went down, what should I get? What should I do?
Jason, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. Thank you for having me on.
Before you stop listening, ask yourself, what are one or two useful things you heard on this podcast that can help you overcome food and fertilizer shortages, skyrocketing prices, the cost of living, or your job being outsourced overseas or eliminated due to automation? Please like and subscribe and tell your friends and family about their Surviving Hard Times podcast. We're all going to need help now and in the near future.